Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. I believe this show will require a warning. It just will. It's going to require a warning. The warning is, you got to be willing to listen. That's it. You don't have to agree. You got to be willing to listen. If you can listen, then you can interact, then you can be a part of this show. If you can't, you know, if you get so caught up in what you think and what is fair and not fair, and you're so mean, that's cool. Just, hey, this show might not be for you. Speaking of, it might not be for you. Let's start with a couple of facts, right? I don't know if Simone Biles is the greatest gymnast of all time. I do know that heading into the games, that was something I was told. Right? Of course, I grew up in the Mary Lou Retton era, right? We're at Pauley Pavilion, UCLA. My sister at the time was a 14-year-old gymnast, was thinking about quitting the sport, and we all watched Mary Lou Retton, and she was a hero. And was it Kelly Strug, right? That was the one who landed on, had a bad wheel, went through, landed on one ankle. Last night, Simone Biles, who we're told is the greatest gymnast of all time, and the things that she can do are ridiculous. Just a ridiculous amount of talent, grace. Like, she got the whole package. So apparently she had some sort of self-doubt. She calls them demons. And those demons reappeared last night, and she had a really, really bad first vault and pulled herself out of the team competition. She may or may not compete later in the week in the individuals. You may have heard that from Dan Beyer. Okay. So here's the problem that I have. I got no problem with Simone Biles. She got a mental health issue. My issue is this. It's actually twofold. One, we have a tendency to make every mental health issue one in which you're like, stop the presses, she could be suicidal. There is a difference between somebody being suicidal and having a mental health episode. Okay, so when I question mental health episodes, or Naomi Osaka, who I didn't have any problem with her not playing tennis for a couple weeks, a couple months. Just, you know, I do have a problem with, like, shaming the media, who has been overly kind to her and saying that's her issue, when that's not her issue. Her issue is whether it's a crisis in confidence or some sort of mental health struggles. My biggest problem in the world is hypocrites. Right? Don't you hate hypocrites? It's the worst. You say one thing, you do another. Right? I don't like people hypocritical. And I also like congruent arguments. What argument is good for one is good for the other. I want you to think about this for a second. When I say LeBron James versus the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals, what comes to your mind? Oh, LeBron choked! Right? Skip Bayless has made a career out of that one NBA Finals series. A career. He had a great career as a writer, but his career has exploded here late in life because he was the guy who was unafraid to say LeBron James choked. Now, I've always kind of been in the reasonable middle. And the fact is that if you look back at that team, it was highly flawed first year with the Miami Heat. most of you couldn't name his starting center. And if I told you Mike Bibby was his starting point guard, you're like, wait a second, Mike Bibby was? Yeah, games 1 through 5, starting point guard, didn't play game 6. He was terrible. Jose Juan Barea had his way with the Miami Heat in that series. And they couldn't figure out they want to play small, play big. But the weight of the world was on the shoulders of LeBron James. It was his second NBA Finals, this time with a stacked team. And they lost 4-2. And because he couldn't make a shot in his last couple games, and he was pressing, he was forcing things, no one said, hey, LeBron James, your mental health, we need to be concerned about this. Last year, in the bubble, and we can pull the tape if you'd like, Paul George was roundly criticized. Pandemic P. He stinks. Why is the Clippers so bad? And Paul George came out and was like, look, I wasn't in the right headspace. I'm trying to get it together. Then he had a good game, and he's like, I got my mental health together. Then he had a bad game, and people just say Paul George can't play well in the big moment. So we live in a world where women for years have said, hey, all we want to be judged as is equal. I don't think it's an unreasonable request. We want to be judged as equals. Okay. You know, no one's actually been critical of Simone Biles. No one is going to go back in for the next 10 years. There'll be no Skip Bayless going 10 years from now saying, well, Simone Biles may be the greatest gymnast of all time in some people's minds, but that night against the Russians in the team competition, she choked. Nobody would say that. Right? Matter of fact, we generally don't have any sort of critique for our female sports teams. We don't. On one hand, you want to be viewed, compensated, treated exactly the same as the men. On the other hand, whatever you do, just don't be critical of us, because that's not a space we like to live in. Which is it? You want to have it both ways. It's okay. Everybody wants to have it both ways. But at least admit that you want to have it both ways. I'm not calling Simone Biles a choker. What I am pointing out is one of the incredible parts of Olympians for over 100 years is that no matter where they come from or what they come from and how unfair it is to be judged on a lifetime of work in one performance, it's totally unfair. Who doesn't want a do-over? I want a do-over. How many things have you worked towards in you get to that one final in your semester, you're like, yeah, I wasn't feeling it that day when I took that final in statistics. Yeah, not the way it works. Look, she's built up years worth of equity over great performances in big moments. If she really had a major, major mental health meltdown, she wouldn't be at the games and thinking about competing later this week. So I'm not being insensitive. I understand she's been through a lot personally. I'm sensitive to that. I'm empathetic to that. Not just sympathetic, empathetic towards it. I am. I would also tell you that so have a lot of athletes. They've been through a lot of things. Even the Russians who beat them. We're not supposed to be sympathetic or empathetic towards Russians, but they can't even wear their country's flag. They're all seen as dopers. And no matter how hard at times many of our athletes have gone through, and the gymnasts have gone through a lot more than most everybody else, having lived in Russia, I can tell you that there's a pretty good chance some of them have been through a lot. Maybe not, hopefully not, what some of our female gymnasts have been through, but in terms of their life and their upbringing and how they're treated. So we got to come up with some sort of plan, right? Is it, if you say mental health care, do we automatically, whoa, we can't be critical anymore? Can we be smartly critical? Or is it, look, if you want to be judged like all the rest of the professional athletes, if you don't play well, or if you pull yourself out of a big event. I mean, imagine Clayton Kershaw. How many times did he fail in the postseason? Imagine how many times. Like, did anybody go like, hey, I wonder how Clayton Kershaw's mental health is after blowing another lead in the 7th inning to the St. Louis Cardinals? Hey, I wonder how good Kenley Jansen's mental health is, considering how bad he had been at times in the World Series and the fact that he didn't get to close the World Series out last year. Jose Urias did. Did anybody ask? Of course not. Of course not. When Chris Paul played bad in a big moment, Chris Paul sucks. Chris Paul choked. When James Harden didn't play well in the Western Conference Finals, James Harden choked. James Harden sucked. If any male athlete were to pull out because he's like, I'm just not feeling it today. I got the demons. While most of us would go like, yeah, man, I understand that. The truth is, in sports fans, we expect our athletes to be able to compartmentalize all of their stress, all of their anxiety, and still find a way to perform. It's one of the things that makes Brett Favre's performance the night his dad died a special one. How many times have we seen athletes dealing with incredible stress, not just from the event and from what's possible upon winning that event, but off the court, off the field, off the floor activities that they find a way to push through? Again, I don't know what Simone Biles is dealing with. And in many ways, she's probably a better teammate for having pulled herself out because she was so bad. But we live in this world where you're going to be told all day long, people are critical of Simone Biles. No, they're not. Nobody has been critical of Simone Biles. Nobody. USA Today wrote that it was heartbreaking what happened to Simone Biles. Heartbreaking. Did anybody write it was heartbreaking when the Clippers lost last year because Paul George wasn't in the right mental health space? Has anybody ever said that it was heartbreaking that LeBron James lost to the Dallas Mavericks because he wasn't in the right mental health space and he needed some mental health recuperation and help his first year in Miami? There's a lot he was dealing with. Of course not. So we'll either admit, which is fair, and I'm okay with this, that we judge and view one sex, one type of sports in one way, and another sex, another type of sports in another way, or we start to have real conversations about it. You pick. At Gottlieb Show is the Twitter handle. Dan Beyer, your thoughts. I'm always interested in what you think because you and I do have a tendency to see the world a little differently.
I have a difficult time putting myself in the shoes of that athlete and what they go through. And even with the Osaka stuff last night of her losing and then not speaking with the media, even my wife and I were just kind of discussing just what are the athletes going through? Is there a problem? Isn't there a problem? It's tough for me to put myself in Simone Biles' case, especially Doug. I can't fault her if she's like, my head's not there and I could break my neck. And I understand that there's stress and then there's sometimes of dealing with the stress, but yeah, I don't want to say I give her a pass because that's not the right phrase. But I guess I'm okay with it. I guess I'm okay with her decision and her explanation. And to think that somebody would train so long and then not, and finally get to that point and not be able to come through and perform, she's not afraid of the moment because she's been in that moment before, but just something wasn't right. So
no, listen. I can tell you, like, if you want to talk real mental health, okay, I had whatever you want to talk, anxiety, stress, complete disorientation when I get to the free throw line. Granted, there was no thought that I was going to break my neck. Okay, none. Okay, but in sports, what separates the best of the best is their ability to process all of that stress and anxiety and still perform. I don't know how they do it. I don't. I have no idea. I don't know how Tiger Woods won the Masters without his father, with his son looking down on 18. We remember that moment, sure. Right? That's an incredible. Can you imagine processing all of those emotions? And I will grant you that the idea of getting hurt does separate it a little bit. But if Simone Biles pulled out from the floor routine or the uneven parallel bars or whatever, we would have had the same reaction. It just happened to be the vault, and it was kind of scary because, she seemed to get lost in midair and still found a way to pull off something that wasn't what she had really planned. Does anybody ever go like, hey man, you were probably in a bad mental health space? Did anybody say that I said that with Ben Simmons. Like nobody has any, Ben Simmons had a layup in the playoffs and passed it out. Why is that? If you want to get to what the real meaning of it is, dude, he's got the yips. He's got a mental health episode. And again, granting you, there's no chance of him knock wood, of him breaking his neck playing basketball as it would be tumbling upside down 5 feet above the earth coming off of a pole vault, of a vault. But no one offers that up for the male athlete, for the male. Is it because we view them as amateurs, even though they're not? Is it because they're women? Is it because they're small? Is it because of the sport? What is it because? Somebody's going to have to explain that to me.
I don't have that answer. I was going to ask you on, did you feel, and this is an honest question, I'm not trying to prove a point.
No, you're okay.
Did you feel more pressure like in an NCAA tournament, Big 12 atmosphere because of what was at stake when you were going through the shooting problems? Like, were you like, man, this is Sweet 16, or, you know, this is like, did because that's what I'm wondering here. Is this because this is just once every 4 years, or, you know, in this case, 5 years? That's not like they've got a regular season schedule that they go through year.
They actually do. I mean, they have the World Championships.
Sure.
They have the Pan Am Games. They do. This is not our first rodeo.
No, but this is the Olympics.
Look, I'm not saying it. Yeah, but it's like the NBA Finals or the NCAA Tournament. Like, there's, to be honest with you, no. It's, and I understand when she says demons, whatever, when she says they come and they go, like, that's a real thing. That's an absolute real thing where you can't plan for it. You don't know when you're going to have it, not have it. And maybe this is how we've all been taught. We teach people that the sports analogy to life is you're going to feel this pressure. You're going to feel this pain. You got to find a way to push through it. And if you can do that, then the rest of your life is kind of easy, right? I don't know if Jordan was hungover or if it was food poisoning, whatever, but he's a hero because of his ability to push through. That was always it. Kobe Bryant shooting a free throw when he had a torn Achilles tendon. Remember that? Like, I asked Kobe, and I'll keep his answer to myself. But when I had drinks with Kobe, just me and him, I asked him, like, hey, when I didn't ask him necessarily about Colorado, but I was like, when that was going down, how did you play? How do you play? How do you find? And that's, the rest of the sports landscape, all we do is celebrate people who overcome stress, anxiety, things in their life that hold every other normal citizen back, but somehow athletes are able to achieve greatness in spite of it. The exception apparently is the Olympics. And I'm interested as to why. All right, it's an ongoing discussion. It is not a, this is the way it is, but that's the way I feel. And I think it's a very, I don't know, I think it's an interesting perspective. I don't know about you. All right, coming up next, Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay. Not surprising to me. Did he win? Did he lose? We discuss next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So Aaron Rodgers touchdown and is in Green Bay. What did he win? A whole lot of nothing. I guess at the end of this year, they can reassess his contract and either re-sign him to a new deal or potentially trade him, and he'll have some say in where he's traded. I don't really understand why the Packers acquiesced and voided the third year of the three that are remaining on his deal. But boy, they didn't give up much in what was a leverage-less stance by Aaron Rodgers. Leverageless stance. And football likes this. Football does not want to see their star players switching teams the way basketball does. That's not good for business. You know, it's interesting. You get people who will, the blue check brigade of right wingers wants to say that people don't watch the NBA as much anymore because of the political leanings of people in the league. I don't believe that to be true. I've never seen any sort of statistical analysis. What I have seen analysis of is when some of your biggest stars are in West Coast time, many of your biggest stars are injured and the best of the best aren't playing. And, oh yeah, by the way, when you have different teams, like Russell Westbrook's going to be on a different team next year. I mean, that's like, what, 4 years, four teams? It's hard to keep up when you don't know who's where. And I think football knows that. When you turn on the Packers, you see Aaron Rodgers. For 18 years or whatever, you turn on the Patriots, you saw Tom Brady. They want those guys to be synonymous with one team. That's why they make it difficult. No other reason. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Sam Kahn joins us, senior college football writer for The Athletic. And Sam, obviously, this appears to be the last year Texas and Oklahoma are in the Big 12. We've had the Big 12 media days, which is the timing of all of this is crazy because we had the Big 12 media days first, not a mention. SEC media days, not a mention. Then all of a sudden the story breaks late last week. What does it do for this college football season that change to the conferences is coming probably as soon as next year?
Yeah, it changes the entire lens through which we watch everything this fall. And obviously we know Oklahoma and Texas are lame ducks. And so those two programs already have their games watched with high interest. But now I think everyone's going to be looking at them through a different lens. And now obviously the SEC, which we know is, you know, amongst the top in the country in finances, to how much its schools generate in media revenue, that they're going to get even better now in that regard. So certainly the Big 12, the rest of the Big 12 schools' feelings are hurt right now because they're kind of left out in the cold. And so I don't imagine that Texas and Oklahoma are going to get very welcome greetings from the rest of their members the rest as they hit the field this fall.
Yeah, that whole horns down is a legal thing that might get slightly overlooked this year.
Yeah, they said at Big 12 Media that it was probably a foul if you wave it, if you do the horns down at an opponent. But, you know, that there was always room left for wiggle room left in that interpretation by Greg Burks, the coordinator of officials. So who's to say? I think it's very possible that maybe they get, like you said, overlooked a little bit this year.
What do you think happens to the rest of the league?
That's the I guess, eight-figure question at this point is, are they going to try to latch on to other leagues? If so, will those other leagues have them? Certainly, I know there's Big 12 members that would love to join the Pac-12, but do they add value to the Pac-12? Because if they don't, then it doesn't make sense to add them. West Virginia would probably have to go to the ACC, but does the ACC want West Virginia? If they cannot find another home in a power conference that keeps their media rights revenue at a comparable level, then I think you have to probably stay together and expand the conference for your long-term survival. I don't know that there are any other options beyond that, but none of them are ideal options for this league because if you go to another conference, it becomes a tricky geographical fit. If you stay together, your revenue is going to take a significant hit because the two schools who generate much of it are leaving the league. So I think it's either option is a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, just so people understand, it's a load of crap what Oklahoma did. It's wrong. It's wrong on every level. The Oklahoma likes to think of them as a one state, us against everybody else. They left their brother school behind. It's the worst thing I've ever heard of in sports. It's embarrassing. I would be embarrassed to ever say I represent the whole state of Oklahoma. I get it. It's in many ways a better funded and better sports program than everybody outside of Texas. But some of that is you benefited from the league not having the resources and not having the investment you have. But to do it and leave your sister's school behind, your brother's school behind. I've never heard of anything that intentionally does damage to, like, Kansas wouldn't do that to Kansas State. They may leave Kansas State, but they wouldn't do it unless they had to. Oklahoma didn't have to. They did it on their own. That's just Doug Gottlieb Inc. speaking, and I'll rail on them because I know I'm right, and I know how disgusting it is, this greed for money in college athletics. Let's get ready for the college football season. Okay, last year it was the depth of Alabama. It was Clemson. It was Ohio State. It was Notre Dame. There were four teams that felt like they were better than everybody else. Who is it this year?
Believe it or not, I think Oklahoma is one of those teams that could be in that mix. This may be Oklahoma's best chance at a national championship since Lincoln Riley took over as head coach, because we know that they can score a lot of points. And they're an elite offensive team. But the one thing they've done pretty well in the last several years is build up that defense. And Alex Grinch, who's their defense coordinator, he's entering his third year there. they've made gradual improvements and they've become a pretty solid defense. They bring back a defensive front that's pretty athletic, pretty fast, pretty physical, and they may have a shot to be in that mix to actually not just get in the playoffs this year, but win a game. But the same schools that you mentioned, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, are always going to be there. Georgia, I think, is going to be a huge factor this year because of the talent level that Kirby Smart continues to bring in. But outside of those schools, if I was looking at one to kind of crash the party and maybe make a run at the title, I think Oklahoma's got a real shot.
Anybody in the West Coast?
Oregon, probably. I think, you know, what Mario Cristobal's done in recent years has been pretty impressive. You know, USC, they bring back, you know, their starting quarterback, and they've retooled that coaching staff, and they brought in a lot of transfers. A lot of them have come from the state of Texas, actually. Some of them former Texas players. So USC, both of those, Oregon, those are two schools in the Pac-12 that I would be eyeing.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Last year, we also had one quarterback who everybody knew was going to be the number one overall pick. We even learned about Trey Lance. He only played one game. Who is it this year? Who's the guy this year?
Probably Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. If there is a guy who's gotten that most buzz that I've heard over the about being a high draft pick, it's him. And you know, Lincoln Riley's done a great job of developing these guys. He had, well, I say developing. Some of them have been transfers in the past, but he's done a good job when they've been there with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and now Spencer Rattler. The key for Rattler is he's got to take the next step in his maturity and his development, his decision-making. I think his talent was off the chart, but taking care of the ball a little bit better, which I think he did down the stretch last season, and just being a little bit more consistent. You know, he's a young guy, younger guy, and had been, you know, made some of those younger guy mistakes in his first couple of years, but if he can meet the moment and take that next step in terms of consistency, I think he could be the guy.
The best thing about college football traditionally is, even though oftentimes teams get a chance to make up for what happened the first couple weekends, we do have usually some great, great matchups in the first week or in the first weekend, if you will. This year, kind of no different. Plus, this year we have fans, right? I mean, that's even better, right? Is there a game, though? Because I was looking at the schedule, and I was like, Ohio State opens up in conference play. That's maybe it. I couldn't figure, what do you think the first massive game with national championship implications is? I guess Alabama-Miami, because Miami brings back a quarterback who outside the Clemson game was outstanding like last year in Derek King. Is that the first game where we start to figure out what's what and who's who?
That's definitely one to watch. I'm curious how healthy Derek will be. I think his recovery from all reports has gone great, and he's a fantastic player. He's so fun to watch. And that Alabama team, let's not forget, they've lost three top five Heisman vote getters off that offense, and I think they're still going to be one of the elite teams, but I'll be curious to see how they are when they plug in the new pieces. The other game I'm looking at is in week one. It's Georgia and Clemson. Saturday night, September 4th. Those two teams are going to be top five, top six teams without question. Both of them have tremendous amount of talent. They are amongst the elite of elite in recruiting, and they have a ton of talent. And I think the winner of that game has a really nice early notch on its resume coming out of week one, whoever wins that one.
Sam, great stuff, man. Look forward to reading more of your work in The Athletic, getting ready for college football season. It's almost here. Thanks for being our guest.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Sam Kahn joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, I have no idea what I'm watching, but I love what I'm watching. I'll explain on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Mm-mm. Every day at this time, we turn things over to Dan Beyer and we get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
Fire
on the Doug Gottlieb
Game
Show.
Game time is brought to you by BetRivers Sportsbook. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dan, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is
Rank 'em.
All right, I've got five, and I'm going to add a bonus six if we have time to today's rankings. Doug, rank the top three teams in the NFC now that Aaron Rodgers has reported to training camp for the Packers.
Top three teams in the NFC. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes.
Lots of good candidates. John Ramos' Rams, maybe. My Seahawks. Bo Benson's Rams as well. Buccaneers, Packers, 49ers.
Yeah, I got, here's what I got. I have the Rams at five. They do have the best player.
Oh, five, all right.
Five.
I only needed three, but that's...
Oh, we only did three?
Yeah, but if you want to do five, go ahead.
Rams at five, Seahawks at four, Niners at three. Packers at two, Buccaneers at one.
Oh, man. Battle of the Bays. Remember the Bay of Pigs back in the 80s?
The Bay of Pigs, yes.
Yes. Oh, man. People don't understand what it was like growing up in Wisconsin when the Packers were bad.
Were
like,
terrible. Forrest Gregg, right? He was terrible.
Sure, yeah. Lindy Infante a little while there as well. When they took over, you never got Summerall and Madden. Like, they were never, they were doing Cowboys and Washington and Giants games, 49ers and Rams showdowns, but they were never live from Lambeau for the Buccaneers and Packers. But
not close.
But Buck and Aikman definitely will be. All right, Doug, rank the teams that you think Aaron Rodgers will play for in 2022. There are odds out for those squads as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do. Who's the third most likely in the odds?
Of named teams, the Raiders actually are. It's the Packers at plus 300, yeah. Broncos plus 350, then the Raiders plus 500.
That's actually my rankings.
And okay, there it is.
All right. Raiders three, Broncos two, Packers one.
Yesterday when we were sitting in for you, because you were sitting in for Colin Cowherd, I said I think the Browns have an interesting decision to make. If
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, and you have to decide on what you're going to do with Baker Mayfield. He's under contract two more years, but it's the long-term contract extension. Browns right now at plus 1,000. The Saints are at plus 750. Dolphins also at plus 1,000. Then you have Washington, Carolina, and the Eagles a bit further down on the list. All right, Doug, rank the three biggest stories of the Olympics so far.
Three biggest stories of the Olympics.
What's caught your attention?
Far?
And by the way,
I would say Biles pulling out of the team competition is one. That's the number one thing. I'm like, the home team usually does better than they would normally do. Japan winning in softball feels big, and then winning in skateboarding feels big.
Yeah.
Felt like both of those were like layup American sports, bring back softball. All right, sweet, we're going to win.
They have the most golds right now, 10 golds for Japan.
Yeah, I would say Japan's success is number two, and number three is Team USA basketball struggling so far.
All right,
losing the one game.
All right, Doug, switching gears to college athletics, near and dear to your heart. Rank where you think your Oklahoma State Cowboys will end up in realignment. The top three possibilities you see for Oklahoma State.
Okay, three would be the Big Ten. Two would be staying in the Big 12. And one would be joining the Pac-12.
Would you like that? Would you like them to join the Pac-12?
I mean, I think in terms of surviving at the top level of college athletics, in terms of their funding, it's probably the best possible scenario. They would have to go with a couple of Texas schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then have like a quadrant out there. It's the bad scenarios, it's far and away the best.
All right, Doug, rank how you think the top three picks will go in Thursday's NBA draft. Right now, Pistons have number one. Rockets sit at number two. Cavaliers are at number three. How do you think the top three picks will go on Thursday?
Top three picks. Okay, number three will be Evan Mobley. Number two will be Jalen Green. And number one will be Cade Cunningham.
All right. Cade Cunningham signing a deal with Nike earlier today. And our final rankings, Doug, today in Rank'em. Lamar Jackson has said that he will change his jersey number from number 8 to number 1 after he wins a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm paraphrasing, but he says if he wins a Super Bowl, he is changing his jersey number from 8 to 1. Doug, rank the best three football jersey numbers. And I think we may have done this before, but this is maybe a more of an updated list, as now there's a lot of other positions wearing some of those quarterback numbers.
Yeah, I'll do what's the third? I mean, 44 is always a great – I mean, that's my favorite number, sure, right? That's a great middle linebacker number.
It does look good, yeah.
Fullback number two. 44 is three. 12 is two. 7 is one.
Seven. I like how number one looks on a football jersey. I'm not huge fan of it in basketball.
Agreed.
But yeah, but I like it as a football jersey. I also like how three looks on a basketball jersey, but I'm not in love with how it looks on a football jersey. So, yeah, just one of those things.
I think the font has something to do with it as well, but usually the number one font's pretty easy.
I also like it when three-point shooters wear three, you know, because it's totally, you know, three-ball corner pocket, and that's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Some guy named Alex Furman. Hey, Doug, saw your tweet taking a shot at Simone Biles. Where's the shot at Simone Biles? You tell me this is a shot at Simone Biles. This is the tweet. Let's imagine if LeBron took himself out of a gold medal game because he felt the pressure was too much. It's not a shot. That's just a, here's the metaphor for what she's doing. Let's just imagine. How would we react? He follows up. How many Olympic medals do you have? That's what I thought. You have no idea the kind of pressure she is under. Well, I actually do have the idea of pressure somebody's under because I've been under pressure before. And the Olympic gold medals, no, but she's also has like 24 in her back pocket anyway. So there's a lot of pressure. That's what makes the greatest athletes great, is that they can consume all of this pressure, all of that attention and energy, and find a way to still persevere and perform better than normal human beings. What to me is interesting is we give a pass. We give a pass. We tied in soccer against the Aussies? Are we 0-1-1 in soccer? Is that right?
I think we beat New Zealand.
We beat New Zealand.
Yeah, 6-1. So I think we're 1-1-1.
1-1-1.
Yeah.
And we're the overwhelming favorites, right, to win in. Have you heard anybody beat? Now, part of it is this is how NBC rolls. They're never critical of anybody. That wouldn't be. And we don't talk necessarily about women's soccer. But we operate in this world where we're told that everybody is negative towards all these athletes. And the truth is, like, nobody's negative towards women's soccer. No. They lost early on. Nobody said a word. Team USA in men's basketball, they play one game, they lose, and people like me were like, well, we got problems. These are things called the double standard, which is fine. We all know it exists. But don't tell me that there shouldn't be a double standard in terms of all these other things. And then in terms of critique, you can't critique anybody. How does that work? How does that work? I have an issue with the 3-on-3 thing. I just do. Are we going to have 1-on-1 in the Olympics as well? That would be pretty. I mean, it'd be Kevin Durant, right? He'd win, and then who would? Or I guess he'd have to go against Giannis in the fight, like 1-on-1. That would be kind of amazing. Boy, I just came up with a new Olympic sport just like that. Coming up next, the Green Bay Packers didn't have to spend any money to get Aaron Rodgers back. But they did have to give something up. What did they get in return? The most valuable resource on earth. I'll tell you what that is next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.